Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, big weekend this weekend.
Yeah?
This past weekend.
Yeah, what happened?
It was my daughter's christening. You were there.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Those are the listeners who were not at the christening, which hopefully were none of you, because that would be slightly creepy. Mike is the godfather.
I am the godfather.
Of my daughter.
Yeah.
And afterwards, we went to lunch to celebrate the christening of my daughter. And Mike, unfortunately, couldn't make it to lunch because he had a hockey game. And it's understandable. So you guys know Mike is going out of town for several weeks here to go... run around the plains of Africa.
It's true.
Would it be the, what would it be, the plains?
It would, the savannah.
The savannah.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think of savannah, I think of Paula Deen. Do you think Paula Deen's in Africa?
I doubt it.
How great would that be?
I doubt it. That'd be neat though. I just like step off.
You
the
get
plane.
Off the plane. She's all, "Hey, y'all." Sorry.
Okay.
So we're celebrating. There's my family and. There's about 18 of us, and we show up to a restaurant, and as I walk in, I notice that our table is sitting next to another large party that's been seated alone in the back, away from everybody else, and at this table is former Sharks and NHL great Mike Ricci and his family, and the other people appear to look like his parents.
Oh, yeah.
And someone who looked like his brother. I mean, to me.
Right.
Definitely his wife, who is not
I'm getting
not difficult on the eyes.
Yes.
And his three kids who kind of look like Mike Ricci, which is funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I'm walking in. I tell my wife, I go, "Oh, man, there's Mike Ricci, you know, sitting there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
At the table, she knew who he was because I have the Mike Ricci bobblehead here.
Nice, she recognized him from the bobblehead.
So
his head looks smaller in real life.
And my whole family's coming in, and I text you immediately.
Right,
you know, dude, you're a huge loser. We're sitting next to Mike Ricci. I can't believe you're not here for this. Even my daughter was impressed, and she's 3 months old. And the rest of my family. Not a hockey buff. Yeah. Like, you know, I told my mom actually watched the Sharks and she knew who he was. But then we have the husband of the godmother comes in and he's a huge Sharks fan. Also a listener of this podcast.
Right.
I'm sure he's listening to this story right now.
Right.
And I intercept him at the door. I say, "Dude." He's like, "Congratulations." I was like, no, this is more important.
Dude, this is only one of the holy sacraments. We're talking about ex-Sharks here.
Mike Ricci is sitting next to us. Don't
like make a scene.
Don't freak out.
Right.
You know? And so he comes walking in and he plays it totally cool.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his two kids there with him. And after about 15 or 20 minutes, this guy's got twins and they're 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they're full of energy and life.
As two-year-olds often are.
And the little boy, he's got a boy and a girl. The little boy started getting upset during lunch and was crying. And Mike Ricci was turning around. And my buddy picks up his son and starts walking out. And as soon as he walks away, Mike Ricci stands up and starts talking to our entire table.
No kidding.
He's like, "Oh, I wish I had a lollipop to give the little boy, you know." And then he turns to one of his sons and is like, "If that was you, he's making a fist," like, you know, and his whole family's laughing. And he said something else like, "You know, when they get older, you could just bribe them with money or something." And I mean, he was talking to the entire table, and then he said, "I hope he's doing better," and he walks away. And of course, then my buddy comes back with his son, misses the entire thing with Mike Ricci and everything. That was his golden ticket. That was his way to meet Mike Ricci.
I know.
His son throwing a fit.
And he blew it.
Oh, yeah.
Way to go.
Huge. I should have had Mike Ricci, like, Is it wrong to have a famous player sign your daughter? Like, and then don't.
Yeah, no, I think it's
no,
cool.
It's cool, right?
Totally cool.
So I regret that.
Yeah.
But I thought that was really funny. He seems like a super cool dude.
Signed her christening dress.
Yeah.
Oh, can you imagine?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
that would be great.
Dude, so
anyway.
Anyways, that's my little brush with at least I didn't speak to him. It certainly went better than some of the listeners remember my interactions with Devin Setoguchi.
Yeah.
Who I was like a magnet for multiple times, and I never said anything interesting to him.
Right, right.
So, anyways.
Well, it's not like I had scintillating conversations with Curtis Brown this past week when I took that shark.
Yeah, that's right. You actually played a game with Curtis Brown.
Right.
And you were involved in a scoring play with Curtis Brown.
Yep.
And he doesn't remember you at all.
Well, of course not. I mean, I'm one of a million different people he meets on a day-to-day basis.
You are the only one with the flowing golden locks.
Yeah, I don't make much of an impression. Let's put it this way.
He goes, hey, you're that girl I played with at the yeah. Sharks Fantasy Camp.
Yeah, exactly. How you doing?
Oh, my gosh,
right,
dude.
So, yeah.
All right, so anyways, as you can see, we're tap dancing a little bit right now because there's not a whole lot of news going on.
No, not particularly.
We
have some emails.
Where should we start? We do have some emails this week from some people who are hanging on for dear life. Dude, I love seeing emails from listeners that we've never heard of before.
Right, right.
Or heard from before, which means that we're still adding to our stable of listeners. We're definitely got to be in the dozens now.
And yes, maybe multiple dozens.
We have tried to figure out how many listeners we have at a certain point. We kind of gave up on it.
Yeah.
So we're really ever able to get
I think that's like proprietary information. We don't want our competitors to know, right?
No.
Do we
no.
have competitors?
No.
No, not really.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Did we ever? Anyway, I'll start with Nick. You asked what's the best Africa song,
yes.
And Nick had the correct answer. Nick was the only one who answered the question, but he had absolutely the correct answer, which is, of course, Africa by Toto.
Do we have it?
I don't have it like queued up, but it is a great song for those of you who don't know about Toto. Toto, one of the most underrated bands of the 80s.
So we can't play it?
Dude, you want me to like stop and then play the Toto song?
No.
Okay.
Sing it, dude.
No.
Is it the one that goes... you know, I'll find some plates down in Africa.
That's the one. Yeah.
They've got some cheese in Africa.
I believe that's yeah. That's the
that's
lyric.
That's not the right lyrics, but.
No, that's the lyric.
Yeah.
That's right.
I think Shane Doan might sign to play in Africa.
Yeah. Good song. Look up some Toto if you got Spotify or something, or Pandora or something.
Mm. Phoenix Coyotes might move and play in Africa. All right.
Yeah.
Anyways, so, yeah, no, that is the best Africa.
And it's not
song.
Even close. That is a great song. Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's go to an actual Sharks question.
Brian.
Brian says, I picked up your podcast near the end of the season and I'm really enjoying your show. I've learned more about hockey and the team in general. Thanks a bunch.
Ooh.
Couple of questions. I don't know how. Wait, he learned hockey from us? Wait, he must be listening. He must be confusing us with
sure
a different
you're
podcast.
Listening to this podcast.
Yeah, he must be listening to something else. First of all, what's the deal with Nitti? Last I heard, we loaned him to another team for nothing. And that was it. I can't find anything about him on the net. And if I recall, his contract ends this year. Dude, Nitamaki update.
Yeah, I kind of poked around for this, Brian, and I can't find anything about him either. So
right.
From what I can see, he's signed nowhere. Not in Europe, not in the KHL, certainly not in the NHL. And if my instinct is correct, he's not going to get an NHL contract from anybody because he hasn't demonstrated mm-hmm. any sort of degree of health now, and that's probably why he's still unsigned.
Right.
Someone, I just would have to imagine that Nitamaki is going to have to go play a full season overseas and then maybe come back.
I mean, or suck it up and find an AHL team. But a lot of AHL teams have young goaltenders they want to play.
I think he's got probably too much pride to do that. I think he'd be able to make more money if he played back over...
That's true.
In the Swedish Elite League or something like that?
The Finnish League.
Yeah, I mean,
Finnish.
He could go home and play there and probably make more money and be a star. I mean, at this point, you know, where is this guy's career really going? It's not going up.
He needs a rejuvenation, that's for sure. Hasn't had a lot of playing time, been injured.
His rejuvenation was supposed to come with the Sharks.
Right, didn't happen.
And it didn't happen because he got injured. And I mean, this guy was playing. I mean, he was outplaying Niemi at the beginning, and we have to remember that. I mean, he's even the Sharks player of the month, I think, like the first month of the season.
Right, right.
When he signed his first contract, and then, you know, he got hurt, and then that was it. So he never got another shot and didn't really deserve one. So no news on that, Brian.
He'll probably have to pick up with another team and see if he can, you know. Yeah. Like do a rehab action on his reputation. Brian also says, we all know how atrocious Zeus played last season, but news has come out about him nursing an injury this year. I'm a little more optimistic with this, with him and this in the same sense, and I'm hoping Gagliardi was benched because of his injury as well. With some of the injuries coming to light, plus the scoring wingers being nabbed, are the Sharks in need of any moves outside of Doan? So, dude, are you feeling better about Michael Hanzus this season?
No.
No, me neither.
I'm not. What was it? A hip problem? I can't remember.
Yeah,
what they reported.
which can be a real bear. Sure, I'd like to think he's going to improve because if he gets any worse, he's never ever going to play.
He wasn't playing well, so if he was hurt, they could easily have just benched him. Dude, you found an amazing like PDF packet of stat information.
Yeah. I'm going to have to do a post on it. We're going to talk about the CBA and we can talk about stats this week.
But that packet, you know, has to do with Corsi relative and, you know, ice time and
quality
all that.
Of competition and everything.
And Hanzus was glaringly the worst.
I mean, yeah.
Definitely the worst Shark. And I can't chalk that up to injury, Brian. Like, I think.
Don't you think they would have used any excuse they could have found to keep him on the bench, put him on the IR?
They finally did. I mean, they finally did. And it was, I think if they thought that it was just injury, they wouldn't have bothered to go out and try and replace him with basically getting 2-3 guys at the deadline to take his spot. So unfortunately, I think we're stuck with him.
Right.
And that they may attempt to play him again and see if it is the injury case. Now, Gagliardi, we don't know the answer to that.
Right.
You know, was he not playing down the stretch run because of the back injury that was reported around the playoffs? Is that why he wasn't playing? Why he was scratched a couple times, dude?
I hope so, because if we traded for this guy and the coaching staff doesn't want to play him, that seems like a real waste.
That's what happened in Colorado.
Yeah.
They didn't want to play him. I'm excited to see what Gagliardi is going to bring to the table. He's a pesky, pesty kind of player that had the upside that we saw when we played Colorado in the playoffs, that he can be a real good energy player. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, what we saw from Gagliardi this year was that he seems to put himself in position to make plays. It's just that he
doesn't make them,
you know, whiffs.
Yeah.
He cannot finish. So I hope so. Dude, what do you think about the last part of this question? We've talked about this a little bit so far in the offseason, but we're on the Shane Doan wagon, looking more unlikely every podcast. What else do the Sharks need right now?
They need Daniel Winnick is what they need, frankly. I think they could use another penalty killer. They could use a third line player. Dominic Moore is still out there. I don't think there's really anybody on this team right now that is a slam dunk third line shutdown defensive player. And I think it's going to be pretty difficult to, you know, play against the big boys of the conference without anybody like that. So I'm concerned. I'm definitely concerned about our bottom six. I don't think anybody is an absolute lock to make the team. I don't think anybody, well, I mean, I'd like to think Gagliardi, but clearly he hasn't been awesome. So yeah, it's really kind of troubling. There seems to be quite a few holes we could use. I think the D is more or less shored up right now. You know, we've certainly had talks about Douglas Murray I can talk about that more in the post when I show that neat little chart. But I think there's plenty of holes, frankly. I think there's plenty of places the Sharks could improve.
I think based on some of the information that we got, I still think that the Sharks are going to try and add another top six forward. And the plan maybe is to move Pavelski down to third line center and play him with Burrish and Gagliardi.
Right.
And that's your shutdown line. And it's not exactly what I would like to see, but could Pavs do that? Probably.
Yeah,
but I don't think that's the best use of Joe Pavelski.
Well, if you play him a lot on the power play, maybe that'll sort of make up for it. I don't know. You know, if you play him in special teams and he's a real special teams kind of guy, he's a real sort of glue guy. I mean, he's the Jordan Staal, right? A guy who's offensively gifted enough to play on the power play, defensively sound enough to play on the penalty kill, and he can make a third line better. I mean, that's, you know, that's a pretty good pedigree. It may be a little frustrating in an even strength situation for him because he's not exactly getting a lot of help. But there's not a whole lot of players in the league that can do that. So it's pretty amazing that it's pretty nice, and we should thank our lucky stars. We have a guy like that who can do that, because most teams don't.
So if that's the case, and let's just say Pavelski gets moved down and we add another forward, obviously now, thankfully, it's not going to be Alexander Semin because he signs with Carolina 1 year, $7 million.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy.
I just think, well, that's, I mean, to be perfectly honest, that's the right move for Carolina. I don't necessarily think it's a horrible move by Carolina. The 1 year deal is the right call. They had cap space. They were going after Parise and all these guys. So they settled for Semin. And it's one of those things where it's a low risk, pretty high reward situation.
Yeah.
If he turns his act around, then they can extend him. And if he doesn't, then they say later.
Yeah.
Know? But I mean, when he's good, he is one of the best 10 or 15 players in the NHL from a skill standpoint. But the question is, he's got million-dollar hands and a two-bit head. That's the problem. So if he continues along that road, then Carolina will happily dump him. So I think it's a pretty decent move for Carolina. Sharks have a different cap situation. So if they did the same thing, it would really kind of lock him up. So I wouldn't be happy if the Sharks did that. But from Carolina's standpoint, it's not that bad of a move.
So is there anybody out there in the rumor mill or certainly not left in free agency that you think could be a realistic addition to the top six? I mean, is there any player that you're kind of...
Other than Doan, no.
Yeah.
But I mean, apparently that one rumor that was 4 years, $30 million was actually... Now the word has come out and they claim to say, well, that number was floated by his representatives. So it's not even Paul Holmgren being nuts, that's what Doan wants if he's going to leave Phoenix. So that's a pretty high price. I would not be thrilled if the Sharks pay that. I'd probably be actually downright ornery about it.
There's just no way they would pay that.
I can't imagine they would.
And one thing that I read about that as we kind of transition now into Shane Doan is that, you know, I think it was Spectre who wrote about how he wouldn't be surprised if someone gave him the 7.5, but not for 4 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That someone might give it to him for two.
Mm-hmm.
2 years, $15 million.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just for the 50-so points you're going to get from him, but the intangibles that you get from a Shane Doan. And you throw him on a team that's close to making a push and hope he puts you over the top. But of those teams, dude, and of course I don't have this pulled up. I'm going to kind of frantically look for it right now. I don't know who's got the cap space to do this. Like $7.5 million, dude, that's a lot. So let's look and see who's got that cap space. Technically, the Kings could do it.
Mm-hmm.
The Blackhawks could do it.
Right.
But the Flyers, they can't do it. Sharks, they couldn't offer him that much as it stands right now. Rangers, they could.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think they've even got a few guys who are not signed that they might need to deal with. So, I'm looking. Oh, well, they haven't signed Delzato yet.
Okay. So he's going to get some.
I mean, he's going to get
A few million bucks.
I mean, he's going to get at least in the $3.5 million range.
3 to 4.
So then if he's making $3.5 million, then
the
Rangers
out.
are no, they could still do it. I mean, they could still do it. So if you're the Rangers,
talking about load it up.
I mean, maybe they're the ones who are gonna do it.
But you know, the Rangers have done this before where they went out and got a bunch of stars like Eric Lindros and Wayne Gretzky, and it didn't work out so well for them then. You know, I think they've got sort of the right idea. I don't know if they should mess with it. Obviously, the Nash thing.
You know who'd do it? You know who would give him the 4 years, $30 million?
Glenn Sather? No. Garth Snow?
Bob Murray in Anaheim.
You think so?
He's crazy.
Yeah, you're right about that.
And you know who else would definitely try and do it? He has no cap space, but he would try. Jay Feaster. We're going for a logical here. Now, at that kind of money, as much as I want Shane Doan on the Sharks, 4 years, $30 million. That's not good. Like, that's not a good, smart play. Right?
No, I don't think so. I just seems like too much. I mean, I like Shane Doan as a player. I've said it many times, but that just seems like a dumb move. He's a great player, but that's a dumb move. Unless you're Phoenix and you just, you don't care because you have no, you need to get to the floor or something like that. And he's already there.
I don't think he'd ask for that much money from Phoenix.
That's right.
If Shane Doan doesn't want to, is he not going to stay in Phoenix for like a friendly deal with them? He's going to use the opportunity to cash out just mm-hmm. like everybody else has, mm-hmm. like Weber mm-hmm. did, like Suter and Parise did. This is the last hurrah, possibly,
right?
Before, you know, as we're going to talk about the CBA in a second, before these guys might not be able to get that kind of deal, right? So yep. you can't blame him for asking. I laughed and said, Detroit's out. Detroit's out on everybody.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
yeah.
That's good. You sound disappointed.
No,
that's great.
It is good. It's good for us. It's good for us.
So Vancouver certainly does not have the money with Luongo on the books to sign Shane Doan. So it's a little tricky right now. And I don't think this is going to get... It still might not be resolved by the time you get back, dude.
It's very possible.
You know? he may not sign. But if you're Shane Doan, you don't want to wait too long because... Every day you don't do it, it's closer to, you know, everybody just going, ah, screw it. No, locked out. You know, he's like, but wait. Oh. Yeah,
right. That's true. Everybody's trying to get their cash money.
He's got to get his cash money soon.
So do we want to talk about the CBA? Because that sort of segs into the CBA. Dude,
yeah.
Or we have another email here. What do we want to do?
Let's roll with the topic, dude.
Okay. So CBA, I mean, the owners have really wanted a huge rollback, and I guess not only did they ask for a big rollback to a 47% share, though the players take a 47% share, they also want to slightly redefine what hockey-related revenues are, which would further depress the overall league revenue, which would lower the cap even further. And so they said that if they use the new definition that the owners want of hockey-related revenues, the cap hit last year would have not been $60 million, but more like $54 or $52 million. So it's really, they're really trying to take a bite out of the players on this deal. And I know someone posted it in the comment thread and I might try and look at it really quickly, but I had read this article. I was sort of saving it and someone posted it in the comment thread because our commenters are too damn smart, but, it's kind of annoying, frankly. They come up with all my ideas, but, James Myrtle wrote a great post on, the CBA. And really what's happening is there's a huge disparity between the teams that are making a lot of money, like the Leafs, and the teams that aren't, like Phoenix. And the fact is if you run the numbers, even if the cap, even if the owners got everything they wanted, Phoenix probably still would not make money because Phoenix makes no freaking money. Like, there's some financial reviews. When they had to declare bankruptcy, they had to release some information, which became public record. And I think their ticket revenue for the entire season was something like $15 million.
How is Greg Jamieson going to get people to invest in buying this team?
Well, I think because, which is another whole topic, but the fact is people don't buy sports teams because they're good money makers.
Right, but...
They buy them because they're rare jewels, right? And there's a great Malcolm Gladwell article about how owning a sports team is more like owning a painting than it is like owning a business. It's something that you put on your wall and you look at and you get pleasure out of, and that it a lot of times it appreciates over time, which sports teams almost always do unless they really go in the toilet. And so I'm sure, you know, Jamieson is going to really be paying more than market rate. Because he wants to be the owner of a team, and he's going to try and get other rich people to say, hey, don't you want to be an owner of a team? And it's cool when you get to sit in the owner's box and you get to glad hand celebrities or whatever. And that's worth something. They call that psychic value instead of financial value. So that's why Jamieson is doing this, partially, I think. I don't think he's doing it because it's the best business. He'd probably make more money investing in government bonds or something, you know, than investing in the Phoenix Coyotes. But it's a cool thing, right? I mean, if you had $1 billion and you could own an NHL team and you didn't care that much about money, then you'd do it, right? It's like Mark Cuban, although NBA teams probably actually make money. But back to my original point, there it seems to be, and I know we've had a long discussion on the comments about how whether the Sharks are making money or not, and I don't know. I don't have access to their books. I mean, they're probably fudging the numbers a little. But the fact of the matter seems to be is that the poorest teams are really not going to make money under any circumstance the way the CBA is currently structured. And so Myrtle puts out this great article saying really what the real deal should be is revenue sharing. And the one league that does a crap load of revenue sharing is the NFL. The NFL has a ton of revenue sharing, and pretty much every team, unless you're the biggest moron on earth, makes money every single year because there's so much revenue sharing. And Myrtle estimated that Toronto clears like $100 million a year in cash flow because Toronto just makes so much money. They have corporate sponsors. They charge a truckload for all the tickets. And the thing is, if there's revenue sharing, then those teams at the top, the Rangers, the Canadiens, Toronto, basically all the big market teams, Philly, they're going to have to give up some of those hard, well, maybe not they're really that hard earned, but they're going to have to give up some of those huge profits so teams like Phoenix and Florida and Tampa Bay can be profitable year after year. And really, that's the fight that the owners don't want. They don't want to fight amongst themselves. They just want to take a bite out of the player's ass and see if they can get more money out of the players so they don't have to worry about the situation and actually solve the real problem. Because the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter how much they come down, Phoenix is still going to lose money, and the lowest teams are still going to lose money. And that's the situation. That's sort of the hidden issue of the CBA. I thought it was a great article. So, you know, knowing that, I don't know what the answer is. It makes me even less likely to support the owners in this fight, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to misdirect everybody and say, oh, here's a huge problem. The players are making too much money, which really isn't the problem. The problem is that the richest teams make a truckload and most of the other teams don't. And trying to hack more percentage points this way and that isn't actually going to solve any problems. So is
the solution contraction, dude?
That's one possible option. I guess you could just contract the teams that don't make much money. But I think that would put a huge black eye on the league, and everybody would they would take a huge PR hit from the owners would. So sorry, dude, not much of a discussion there, but I guess that's sort of the state of the CBA right now. So people keep that in mind when you're thinking about it. Dude, we got another email here. Interesting. We had an email a few weeks back from a Colorado fan listening to our podcast, and now we have an email from, of all things, a Dallas fan. His name's Noah. I've been listening to your podcast for about 2 years, and I must say I love it. I live in Dallas, and I'm a huge Dallas Stars fan. In your last couple podcasts, you say how much worse the Stars have gotten, and I have to completely disagree with you. Shocking. Yager will be a great stopgap playing with Ben and Louis Erickson. I know he's not the Yager of old. And Ray Whitney got 77 points last year. Just because you see his age doesn't mean he can't do as well, if not better, next season in Dallas if he stays healthy. Trading Ott for Derek Roy was quite a blow, but the productive capability of Roy is significantly better, in my opinion. We lost a lot of grit, but had a lot more capable two-way players in offensive production, especially because Ribeiro was awful coming back. Whereas I must say, for the first time in years, I don't see the Sharks getting any better. I liked Burrish, and I think he's a good addition to the Sharks. And you all have been soft in the past, but he's a good heart and soul guy who plays with intensity. But besides that, it feels like the Sharks are crossing their fingers, hoping to make a cup without changing anything. Not happening, only letting players like Thornton get a year older, and don't get me started on Niemi. Love the show, though. I like hearing what the enemy is doing. First of all, he's got a lot more constitution than I do, because there's no way I could ever listen to a Dallas Stars podcast.
No, it's good to have you on board. And it, first of all, it's hard to disagree with like his last couple sentences.
About the Sharks.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Right. I don't think the Sharks have done much to get better.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, and to see that as an outside observer, you know, I totally agree with you. You know, Stewart and Burrish, interesting changes, but not enough.
Not enough to make
a jump. But my friend, you are looking through rose-colored Dallas Stars glasses.
Which I respect, because you're a Dallas Stars fan and you're entitled to do that.
I think that's a team that also needed to make changes, because they've been on top of the Pacific Division for 2 years in a row, and then they take a huge dump and fall all the way out.
Right.
So obviously something's wrong. Getting rid of Ribeiro was good.
Yeah.
Okay. But signing the Social Security team to come and play, I don't think that makes any sense. And then bringing in a broken, brittle center in Derek Roy, that doesn't make any sense to me either.
I think, unfortunately, the Stars are also crossing their fingers a little bit, hoping that Ray Whitney can hold on another year, Yager can continue the magic, and Derek Roy suddenly finding some health. I think all of those guys are major risks in terms of injury and production, both. And if it works out for the Stars, then Neuendijk's going to look like a genius. But that there's a lot of risk there. And I even if they all work out perfectly, what are the stars? A 7 seed? If these guys play well?
A
6 seed at the top? So it's not like they're going to make a cup run with these guys. I mean, they might be around where the Sharks are if the Sharks sort of go where Noah thinks they're going to go.
I got it. Noah, even with as questionable as the Sharks are, I would take the Sharks roster over the Stars roster every single day.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
And I think that Dallas has some good, interesting pieces. I love Jamie Benn.
Louis Erickson's one of the more underrated players in the league, no doubt.
Good player. But when you immediately start tinkering with what I consider to be the Stars' identity for years, which is being just a pain in the ass.
Right.
And you remove a large part of your ass, you know, I don't know where they're going with this. And I wonder if this is a veiled way of Nieuwendyk saying it's okay for the team to take a major step backwards, which is what I think is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're gonna fall to the bottom of this division, and that now you've got Jágr, you could trade him, you know, you've got some older pieces, and they really need to get a couple high picks.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to help them drafting 13 and 14. You know, they need to be in the top five if they're going to get better.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess we're going to find out soon enough, or maybe we won't if there's a lockout.
Dude, are you ready for your trip?
Dude, I'm ready. We're going to have to take, what, 2 weeks off? I think we're going to have to take maybe 2 weeks off.
Yeah. And then how quick after that do you go on your giant hike?
And then 2.5 weeks after that.
Okay.
So there's going to be a couple breaks here coming up. But
there's so much to talk about. What are we going to do?
Yeah, I'm going to be checking. I'm going to bring my satellite phone so I can check Puck Daddy.
Checking the hockey scores, hockey news in Africa.
That'd be funny.
That will be funny.
Well, there is going to be some downtime. I'm not going to be able to stay away.
Okay.
I'm going to have to check this stuff. So,
well, dude, I look forward to hearing many stories. You've been to India.
Yeah.
In the last year, you're a world traveler, dude.
It's going to be good.
What are you planning on shooting while you're out there?
Just cameras.
Okay.
Just photographs.
No. This is not a big game hunting safari. No, I want to make sure the listeners understand.
Who am I? Like Donald Trump's sons?
It's a photography trip.
That's right. That's
Donald
all the
Trump's sons.
Yeah, that's all the shooting.
Or who is the hockey player that does all the hunting?
Oh.
God, there's all these pictures of the hockey player out hunting.
I can't remember. Oh, well. I'll have to figure that out.
Dude, have a great time. Be safe. And we will see you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, dude. See you on the flip side.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.